The WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, has suffered a setback in his fight against extradition to the United States, with a British judge ruling he'll face a full hearing in February next year. The Australian appeared in a London court overnight as his lawyers tried to have the case delayed. Julian Assange faces 18 charges in the US, where he could spend decades in jail. Barrister Greg Barnes is an advisor to the Australian Assange campaign. He's on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Greg Barnes.
Good morning, Hamish.
How significant is this setback overnight?
Well, look, I think it's a case that means that they're just going to have to work a lot harder and a lot quicker. But the point is that, and one of the points that Mark Summers, who's acting for Julian, made was, of course, that there are these new developments where we now know, courtesy of a Spanish court and a Spanish investigation, that there was, since 2017, routine spying by a security firm employed by the Ecuadorians on Assange and on those who were coming to visit him, including the photocopying of notes, etc., from legal privileged meetings, medical records, etc. So that was certainly a matter that's got to be investigated and examined.
I have read some of the detail of this. Some of it seems a little surprising. Are you referring to the nappies and the DNA as well?
There's certainly an allegation in relation to that, and
which is the assertion is that nappies belonging to his children that were thrown out at the embassy there was some attempt to retrieve them to procure
correct.
DNA. That's the assertion.
Correct. And look, these matters are important matters because they do go to the question of the fairness of the extradition. But coming back to the extradition, of course, that the real issue here is the fact that these are political offences, and this is a carve-out in the US-UK extradition treaty. You cannot extradite a person for political offences, and these are quite clearly political offences. And I think we're seeing that now reflected in the comments by Australian politicians who were Barnaby Joyce and Bob Carr and others that are now recognising the political nature of the prosecution or the attempted prosecution of Assange.
I do want to get to that. I do just want to ask you about his welfare. I mean, the reporting from the court suggests that he appeared confused and tired. I think at one point he said that he was having trouble thinking. How is he coping?
Look, I think it's been a very difficult time for him. There's no doubt that his health has been adversely impacted by 7 years living effectively without natural sunlight and being cooped up in the embassy and now at Belmarsh Prison. I mean, prisons are no place for people who are unwell, and generally a person's health deteriorates in the prison environment, particularly Belmarsh Prison, which is a harsh prison. And so there's no doubt that there are real concerns about his health, and they are concerns which we've expressed to the Australian government, and they are concerns that his family has about him. And it does make it difficult in terms of preparation of his case because he's got to be able to instruct his lawyers that this is a complicated case, and he's got to be able to do that in circumstances where his health improves.
And can you tell me this in terms of those difficulties? I mean, Julian Assange is a very particular character, and for a long time, I think it's fair to say, has operated in a world that consists of very complicated things like, you know, these allegations of espionage, but also allegations of and feelings and beliefs of conspiracy that seem ever present in his world. Clearly, some of it is real. Clearly, there are some scenarios in which there are genuine questions about the reality of that. How difficult does it make to mount a case on his behalf?
Look, I think the case is fairly clear, and I think the briefing I had overnight from his law firm in the UK is that these are clearly political offences, and we need to focus on that. So we need to come back, Hamish, and look at the fact that what he did, what he's being attempted to be charged with, relates to the disclosure in 2010 of war crimes committed by the United States in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that information, of course, is real. That information was republished, as we know, around the world. Now, that's the essence of the issue in this particular case. It's not about...
Isn't the essence, though, whether or not he was coaching, in effect, Manning in the lead-up to that?
Well, no, one of the allegations is that there's, in effect, some sort of conspiracy to hack, if I can put it that way. That's one allegation. But don't forget, the other 17 charges deal with the so-called publication or the publication of this particular material. Now, that, of course, is of concern because that's what it makes these political offences. But also, Hamish, the other issue that the major concern is the extraterritorial reach being attempted by the United States, because this is not a case of a person who was in the United States, within the jurisdiction, undertaking these activities. He was never in the United States. And what's being attempted here by the United States is to say, we will come and get any journalist or publisher who publishes material that we don't like anywhere in the world. And that, of course, is a major issue in this particular case.
And is it your assertion that he's a journalist?
Absolutely. It's that's the assertion.
So what makes him a journalist rather than a campaigner?
What makes him a journalist is that he publishes material. And as we know, I think from recently, Hamish, Mark Davis...
Hang on, Hamish.
Let me finish. I hadn't finished your question. Mark Davis has asserted recently, I think in a speech he gave, that there was curating of material. He has won an enormous number of awards, as has WikiLeaks, as a journalist, including in Australia here by the Walkley Foundation.
And that makes him a journalist, does it?
Well, they would, of course, Hamish, define who is eligible for their awards. And one assumes, in fact, one knows that the definition in relation to a number of those awards is that a person is a journalist.
Mm. I mean, you're aware, obviously, that view is not universal, not least which amongst journalists.
It's not universal, but in any event, it's irrelevant for the purposes of these cases. These are that under the extradition treaty, the question of whether you're a journalist or not is not the issue. The question under the extradition treaty is whether or not these are political offences. And we say they are political offences because what was revealed were war crimes on the part of the United States in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, I think Bob Carr in recent times, the former foreign minister, has put that very succinctly and very well, and that is the issue in this particular case. And what's being determined here by the United States is that someone should go to jail for an effective life sentence simply for revealing what the world should know.
Is it your view that Julian Assange is being let down by the Australian government?
What we would say is that the Australian government should be doing a lot more, and we are certainly saying, and we are certainly seeing, Hamish, a great deal of interest in this case. In recent times, we've seen Barnaby Joyce, we've seen Bob Carr, we've seen Andrew Wilkie. Andrew's putting together a group of parliamentarians. We are seeing growing awareness of concern about an Australian citizen who's been treated very, very shabbily by the United States and who's threatened with an effective death penalty in 170 years.
So there's, you mentioned Barnaby Joyce there, a group of federal politicians, including Joyce, George Christensen, the Independent, Andrew Wilkie, are creating a cross-party working group to put pressure on the Morrison government to halt the potential extradition to the United States. What could this group do in your view? I mean, is there some particular pressure that they could exert to bring about a different approach?
Certainly, Hamish. And if one goes back to the David Hicks case, that's where it started. It started with pressure from backbenchers. It started with pressure from people within both the Labor Party and in the coalition.
I think Barnaby Joyce
has real parallels.
I think Barnaby Joyce back then as well.
Absolutely. He crossed the floor. I mean, he rightly sees that there is some serious difficulty in terms of the rule of law with this particular case, and he's right. And, you know, we might make the point again that it's not a party political issue. It is an issue that is across lines, and that's important because what this case really reflects is a commitment by the United States to hunt someone down who revealed things that the United States doesn't want revealed and then threaten them with an effective death penalty, because that's what 170 years is. And I think there is real concern in Australia about the way the United States has gone about its issues with Julian Assange.
Greg Barnes, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Hamish.
Barrister Greg Barnes there. He's an advisor to the Australian Assange campaign.